In general, on Fridays, in the month of Elul, so we try to learn, I would say, sugyas of tshuva, but primarily to view tshuva through the lens of particular personalities. Tshuva is one of those topics that I'm intrigued by in many, many ways because of the range of ways in which people approach it. If you learn tshuva through the writings of the Altar of Nevardik, so tshuva is exceptionally intense. Tshuva is really, there's a real intense avoda, almost of times of shiflus, of breaking a person. If you learn tshuva in the writings of Rabbi Nachman or Yaakov Meir Shechter or others in the world of Breslov, so tshuva has a bit of a different component to it. If you learn tshuva in the Bnei Yisachar, you're going to learn about a lot of Ramazim and Gematria, so as far as the kind of Torah that he's going to be teaching. If you learn Torah in the thought of the Meiri or Rabbeinu Yonah or others, it's all going to be a different perspective in tshuva, Rav Kook. There are a lot of different mahalchim in terms of how many of the Gedolei Yisrael over time, Rishonim, Achronim, Bali Musar, Gedolei HaChasidus, Gedolei HaAchronim, have all learned the sugya of tshuva. What we try to do in Elul is each year to pick a couple of different personalities to be able to understand and appreciate their unique perspective in tshuva, or at least some of the perspectives which they share in tshuva. We do that for two reasons. Number one, I don't believe that there's any one mahalach which is going to work for every single person in this room. It can't be that way. It can't be that we're all going to connect to the exact same mahalach. We spoke yesterday a little bit about the value of being part of a klal, but it's also critically important to be able to find your individual approach and to be able to appreciate, you know, the world that inspires you. The sefer Musar that I may learn in the month of Elul that's going to move me may not be the sefer, the Musar sefer, which you're going to learn in Elul is going to move you, or the Chassidus sefer, or the Perush and Chumash that we may learn and may reflect and may teach insights about tshuva. So different people will connect to and should connect to different personalities. And one of the great things you can get in your time in Eretz Yisrael is to, number one, learn the personalities that speak to you. To learn the sfarim, to learn those sfarim that are going to move you, that are going to inspire you, they're going to offer you a good deal of insight, perspective, and guidance to be able to find what allows you to be the best person you could possibly be. A second goal is that I believe that even if I'm going to be learning a perspective, which is not my mahalach, even if, that the ability to be familiar with what's out there, to know the Torah which is shared by various Gedolei Yisrael, and to be familiar with it, we will never, never, never lose out by being broader, by knowing more Torah, by being aware of different mahalachim that are out there, because what sometimes happens in life is that what moves me and inspires me when I'm 19 or 20 is different than what moves me and inspires me when I'm 27 or 35, and as we go through life, so to be familiar with the kinds of sfarim that are out there, so there are stretches where we need different things. There are people always that have their sefer they go with their entire life, and there are people, I know I'm in this category, that I need something new a little bit to be able to move me. I need something new to be able to share a different perspective, and that's part of the mechayev and part of the goal of these shiurim, is to be exposed to and appreciate the breadth and just what exactly a person can find in the world of Torah. This week we are talking about the Mahalach of Rav Lichtenstein and Tshuva. Rav Lichtenstein gave once a year a major Tshuva drasha, most of the time in Yerushalayim, I believe, but sometimes in Manhattan. And that was a very, very powerful Kinas Tshuva when he would give a drasha. This past year, they came out with a sefer. They wrote up many of his tshuva drashas, Return and Renewal. It's a masterful sefer. It's classic with Lichtenstein. It's not his writing the same way, which sometimes makes it a little bit easier to be able to understand. And it's beautiful, beautiful Torah. I want to give a hakdama in terms of the way that he teaches and what he does. And I want to be able to try to highlight what I believe is one underlying theme in a lot of the sefer. And to be able to express, we'll take it through three different contexts, but three Torahs of Rav Lichtenstein that I think are connected in a certain sense and incredibly relevant, Be'ez Hashem Yisparach, for us. Let me begin with the following. Rav Lichtenstein's goal in giving the Tshuva Drashas, at least so it really seems, number one, Rabbi Shlomo Zuckier, who's a Talmud of his, old friend and a wonderful, wonderful person, writes about, he wrote a review of the Sefer. And just to point out as follows, the second paragraph in particular, the style many of the essays utilizes the, quote, mapping out the topic approach that would be familiar from Lichtenstein's Talmud lectures. So Lichtenstein and Shas, so is the goal of Lichtenstein when he taught Gemara a lot, if you learn those eight volumes that are on different Masechtas, So Rav Lichtenstein, the goal was not, let me say a chiddush. That wasn't the goal. The goal was to give an effective and valuable overview of a topic that I'm going to be speaking about as an example. Hiddur mitzvah, the goal is not finding the way that I can give an amazing chiddush within Hiddur mitzvah. There will be great chiddushim. But the primary goal, or at least certainly the structure of it, is to be able to outline the various approaches, the various issues I've shown him, and to be able to weigh them, see how they read Gemaras, see how they're going to explore different issues, but to be able to map out the topic as a whole. It's less chiddush focused, it's more mapping things out. Rav Lichtenstein in the Sefer in Tshuva does a whole lot of that. A major issue in Tshuva, and let me develop and highlight alternate perspectives. Let me develop and highlight a couple of different approaches. It tends to be a Sefer where he doesn't get that much into. As Rabbi Zuckier points out, I believe correctly so. It's not like heavy on the halachic sense, nor is it heavy like in the metaphysical sense. It's trying to give over Torah in a way which is practical and relevant. In general, he draws from a wide range of sources. A whole lot of what he draws from is Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, Lichtenstein is known for a certain kind of intellectual breadth, undoubtedly. But he does so in many ways from Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. And what he does is highlights lots and lots of relevant issues, issues that, at least for me, very, very much move me, and do so in a style which is uniquely his, and do so in a style which appreciates the unique capacity that we have to do tshuva, to speak to us as us. There's something to be said for learning. We try always in Elul to at least have 1 week where we speak about a different Rishon. Something very powerful about being able to learn from someone that wrote it, you know, or it was Torah that was said over not that long ago. I remember going to one of these drashas when I was in Eretz Yisrael for the year. They were amazingly, amazingly powerful. We're going to talk about three issues, but let me begin with a methodological tool in the world of learning that Rav Lichtenstein on some level is going to invoke. We quote it all the time from Rav Yaakovson. Rav Yaakovson's very fond of giving the following example of it, and we'll reference it, I'm sure, this year also. I know that Friday's not usually the time for like Gemara methodology, I think, in terms of what we do. It's a good insight nonetheless. In general, in Achronim, you will often find lots of chakiras. Is it this or is it that? Is it part of the mitzvah, or is it a separate kiyum? You'll find chakiras with two different possibilities. And Rav Yaakovson once argued that he learned so much about Derech HaLimud, I believe he's talking about this a lot, sitting once at a wedding. And he's sitting at the wedding, and the person's coming around, the waiter comes around, and the waiter said, those of us that know this, I'm sure do. The waiter says to him, so, do you want oaf or schnitzel? You want schnitzel, or you want like chicken on the bone? Like, what do you want? Rav Yaakovson's like, I'm not sure which one I want. And the guy next to him says, yes, I'll take both. He said from that he learned an incredibly important yisod about Derech HaLimud. When you speak about chakira sometimes, it's not a question of is it this or is it that, but rather the answer often is both. The answer often is both. Is hiddur mitzvah only a din l'chachila, or is hiddur mitzvah ma'ake yivim b'di'eved? The answer may be yes, both. The same shayla b'hakaveyuna. Is it this or is it that? No, it's both. Find out when each one is. But sometimes that can do. Lichtenstein pulls that move often in this Sefer, which is the following. To raise a question and to develop two different perspectives on that question. To raise what appears to be a chakira, although it's not heavy from a lumdus perspective, but to raise a question and then to talk about, but maybe it's both, and what are the implications of it being both, and what are the messages of it being both. And he pulls that move on the Derech HaLimud level, which is part of the unique style of Lichtenstein. Before you speak about the content of what he says, the way he says it is special. The way he says it is powerful. And to be familiar with that is something which is very, very important. I don't know if you have a drink, but I'm asking. You want a cup? That's all I guess. The first shaila he asks, we'll speak about three issues. The first shaila he asks is the following. How do I relate to tshuva? And here there are two mahalchim on how you relate to tshuva. The first mahalch is to relate to tshuva, and as many Balei Machshava emphasize, as essentially a chesed that comes from Ribono Shel Olam. A form of rachamim. There is no rational reason why there should be tshuva. We aren't entitled to it at all. But primarily, if you want to relate to tshuva, relate to tshuva as an opportunity. Relate to tshuva as a possibility. That tshuva is this amazing chance you have to fix everything. So the Rambam writes in Parakeh in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam brings in to his discussion of Hilchos Tshuva, in the middle of it, and very, very intensely, a discussion about Bechira Chavshas free will. Because part of what the opportunity of tshuva, why is there an opportunity of tshuva? Because we have free choice, and we could live life one way, and I have the choice now to live life differently. And tshuva, in many ways, affords us as an opportunity. Take advantage of it. You have the chance to rectify. You have the chance to change a variety of things. Ram Hilchos Teshuva Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. Hoel v'rishus kol adam nesuna lo kemoshe bi'arnu. Since every person, you have the possibility to do so. So yistadil adam lasos teshuva. Like, try to do teshuva. You have the chance and the possibility to be able to do so. And one way of looking at teshuva is that teshuva is a chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam, a choice, a chance, an opportunity that you can take advantage of. That free will is important. And also, he points out, source number four in the sheet, it's also that the Ribono Shel Olam is ready to forgive our sins. Not only we have free will, he wants to forgive them. And number three, he wants to forget about all the mess ups that we've had. So tshuva is an opportunity. Mahalach number one. Tshuva has an opportunity. Mahalach number two is not to relate to tshuva as this great opportunity. An opportunity, you would say the following. There's an awesome opportunity on Thursday night, that late on Thursday night, there's a kumzitz. It's a great opportunity to take part. You all have free choice. You can allocate your time wherever you want. And it's kedai to take advantage of it. That's an opportunity. There's another mahalach in tshuva, notes of Lichtenstein, and that is tshuva as an obligation. It's not this amazing opportunity to go to. You have to go. It's a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv. Now, Ron points out that we know, maybe some of us are familiar with, the Rambam Shita, is there a chiyuv to do tshuva or not, is not entirely clear. They're already shown him the Ramban for sure, we'll speak of it in a little bit. Tshuva is for sure a mitzvah. In the Rambam, the Minchas Chinuch thinks maybe tshuva is not a mitzvah. Maybe only if you do tshuva, the mitzvah is to do it a particular way. Rav Soloveitchik's approach and the mainstream view, at least in many we've shown him, tshuva is a chiyuv. Tshuva's obligation is not the same thing as tshuva's opportunity. Tshuva's opportunity means, like, there's an amazing thing you could do. So, like, take advantage of it. It's awesome. And it sounds like, in a certain sense, it's like, it's a chesed or bonus olam they choose to take advantage of, or maybe not. And the other mahalach is that tshuva is, it's a chiyuv. It's not an opportunity to take advantage of. It's not like a kumzitz on a Thursday night, like, guys, it's awesome, take advantage of it. I've never been there, I don't even know if it's good at all. But it's not how you would say it. Tshuva is an obligation, means like, you have to be there. You have to be there. Two different perspectives in tshuva, which, by the way, alters our perspective on tshuva. How do I relate to tshuva? I relate to tshuva that I have a chiyuv, I need to do it. I relate to tshuva as, it's an opportunity, how can I pass it up? How can I pass it up? So Lichtenstein points to a Rambam, which he thinks, again, it's not one or the other, but maybe there are elements of both. And he points to a Rambam, which is very, very significant. Please listen up to it. It is it's an amazing thing, even as far as reading Rambam. Fact implication. Yom Kippur Huzman Tshuva Lakol. Yom Kippur is a time to do tshuva. The Yachid Ule Rabim, for individuals and for the collective, for the masses. Who Kates Mechila Veslicha Li Yisrael. This is like a major, major opportunity and a major, major time. Like, this is it, Yom Kippur. It's a time, it's Zman Tshuva Lakol. Lefichach, therefore, Chayavin Hakol La'asos Tshuva U'lizvaz B'Yom Kippur. What does the Rambam seem to do? What he seems to do is to merge together two different ideas. Yom Kippur is an opportunity. It's Zman Tshuva Lakol. It's Zman Tshuva Lakol. Because there's an opportunity, lefichach, therefore, you are chayav to take advantage of it. Suggested looking through the very, it's such a beautiful, simple observation. There are opportunities that you would not ever talk about in terms of obligations. A kumz on a Thursday night, you would never speak about in terms of an obligation. If there's an awesome dinner being served somewhere, you would say, there's an amazing opportunity. If you want a really good dinner, go there to that restaurant, you can get it, it's an amazing opportunity. But you would never speak of that as far as, and therefore you have to go. And there are obligations that maybe we wouldn't speak about as being the most amazing opportunities in the world. That sometimes in life, I have a job, and there are elements of every job that are hopefully incredibly meaningful, incredibly beneficial, and ones that you enjoy. And there are elements of every job that are straight up obligations. It's filling out certain forms, like, it's an obligation. No one would say, like, wow, it's an amazing opportunity to fill all those forms. No, when you fill out your W-2, if any of you worked over the summer, W-4, whatever it is, no one says, like, by the way, you have an amazing opportunity. You can fill out your income tax form. No, you have an obligation to fill it out. Obligation and opportunity are often not connected, except for when they are, and that's tshuva. It's not one or the other, it's really both. There are certain opportunities that because the opportunity exists, you must take advantage of it. The Rambam presents a fact and then draws an inference. Source number, I guess, number one on the sheet. What should be number seven? The fact is that Yom Kippur is a day which is favorable for tshuva. That being the case, all are obligated to tshuva. In fact, the Rambam has linked two elements of your understanding. Ready? If you have the opportunity, you must avail yourself of it. So apart from the fact that there might be a mitzvah of tshuva, the fact that it's possible renders it mandatory. Is it conceivable that a person who attaches significance to his own spiritual state should be totally impervious and insensitive to the ability to restore his relationship to God? I.e. as follows. There are opportunities. Tshuva is an opportunity. But if you don't take advantage of that opportunity, that's just not an opportunity. There are opportunities which if you don't take advantage of, you got to take advantage of that. You need to take advantage of it. You need to take advantage of it. Like, yeshiva has elements of that. Like, I'm in yeshiva for the year. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to become a better person. It's an opportunity to become more sensitive. It's an opportunity to understand myself better. It's an opportunity to do so many things. Because an opportunity, it's an opportunity which you need to take advantage of. That's tshuva. Is tshuva chesed ribono sh'olam or a classic chiyuv? The answer is because it may be a chiyuv and it may have chesed components. But end of the day, because of the opportunity, because ribono sh'olam gave us that unique schus, you need to take advantage of it. This is an opportunity which you need to take advantage of. And if you have any sense, any semblance of striving for ruchnius, so how would I not take advantage of it? You have the ability to fix it. I don't take advantage of it. Like, mashal l'mahadavar doma, you have a couple that got into a fight, a husband and wife that got into a disagreement, and there's a chance, it's really not, relationship is not where it needs to be, and there's a chance for the husband to go around and to apologize, and to be able to fix that. The opportunity presents itself. It's not stam an opportunity, which like, if I want to, I guess, if not, you know, probably not. You gotta take advantage of the opportunity. You need to. So one, again, mahal number one, look at it in a way which I think is important. What's my attitude towards tshuva? It's an amazing gift to the bonus olam. But how are you not going to take advantage of it? And it's combining those two together, which leads to one mahalach, which I think is very, very important. The second mahalach is another. Here's a little bit more of a developed idea that will develop from a Torah perspective, and that's the following. We referenced even on a Derech Halima level yesterday. When you want to argue sometimes that there's like two dinim, or different components of a halacha, you often want to try to find two different sources. If we only have one makor, then we start pulling the moves that we saw the last couple of days, like a nimsar kafas chachamim. But when you have, you want to look for two makoros. Now, there are really three places in Chumash that one could talk about. You speak about a makor for tshuva. In this particular piece, Lukhansi does not focus on, or we'll focus on in a little bit, but there are two different psukim. The Rambam does something very odd, or surprising. What's the makor of tshuva in the Rambam? It's a sugya in Parshas Nasa. Sugim Parshas Naso. Not in Dvarim Perek Lamed, not Dvarim Perek Lamed in Vayelech, I think, but rather we're talking what's Parshas Naso about? Gezel Hager. What's Gezel Hager? Gezel Hager is that you steal from a convert. Okay? You're not a great person. You steal from a convert. The convert passes away. The convert has no Yorshim. There's no one that you could pay back. Peshim, it's like Vayela. There's no one I could pay back to. So what do I do? The ger has no yorshim, because ger is just a gari, because it's a nolas, I mean, the Gemara tells us, he doesn't have halachli alpidin yorshim, so who am I going to give it to? So the Torah teaches us, you give it to a kohen. In the middle of the discussion, the Torah tells us that when you come along, you want to give it to a kohen, you have to engage in a mitzvah of vidoy, v'hisvadu, you have to confess. Rambam said, that's the makor for tshuva. Parentheses, in the thought of the ishbitzer of tzaduk, so why is it the makor for the Rambam? It's an amazing Torah. Why is that the makor? So Tzaduk, I think, quotes from the Ishbitzer, what a beautiful insight. You know why? Who's the one person that you could think could never do tshuva? I stole from a ger, I have to return it, the ger passed away, he has no yorshim to give it to. I would have thought I could never do tshuva. You know what the Torah teaches me? Even in a situation in which you would have thought you could never do tshuva, even there's tshuva. Says Tzaduk, says Ishbitzer, great Rebbe, that's the makor for tshuva. The makor for tshuva is that even in a place where you would think you never could, Torah comes along towards Mechadesh, even Gezel Hager, you can still do tshuva. That's Arvos Nikos, that's what Tzadok, it's a beautiful, beautiful insight. Now, that's one makor. What's the other makor? The other makor is a pasuk parshas Achrei Mos that many of us are familiar with, it's Yom Kippur, and that's the following, Ki beyom hazeh yichaper aleichem latar eschem nikol chatoseichem. That comes along Yom Kippur, there's a process of tara that takes place on Yom Kippur. Lutli pointed out that there are two different, it seems, points of emphasis in these psukim, what's tshuva really supposed to be about? And many of us, by the way, if you think about this, even if we've never articulated it, are aware very much of this tension. On the one hand, tshuva is focused. And this is what he points out, the Rambam, when he quotes that mucker from Getzal Ager, when you learn Perek Aleph tshuva, it's explicit. Tshuva is focused on individual mess-ups that you had. This sin, I messed up here, and tshuva is focused on the detail of that sin. Gezel Hager, I stole from him, I confess my chet, I get tshuva for my chet. That is a specific, limited, and focused perspective on tshuva. That's what it is. Focused, specific, limited, that's one model of tshuva. There is another model of tshuva. We'll elaborate on this much more, but Ezra Hashem, next week, we speak about Chaim Shmulevitz. But there is a different perspective, which is the perspective that says, it's not about individual things. Maybe tshuva is a much broader concept. Tshuva is about, not I messed up with the sin. Tshuva is about, I want a different life. I want a new derech. Not about the individual, but like, I'm just not as pure as I want to be. I'm not as kadosh as I want to be. And that's what the pasuk in Achrei Mos, which will be in Yonah quotes in Shari Tshuva, there on the sheet, that's a different model. That's a perspective in Tshuva, which is more about the broad, sweeping idea of wanting to just get a pure, be purified, to be purified, to become a different kind of person, to be entire, not just that I fixed this, but I fixed my persona is a different persona. I'm a different, elevated, more pure, more holy person as a result. I'm not eradicating my personality, but I'm becoming a step holier. I'm going in a bit of a different direction. So which is it? Looks to begin by pointing out, it seems like there's a tension here in tshuva. Is tshuva individual sin? You want to do tshuva well? Ashamnu, bagadnu, let's focus on the vidoy. Individual chataim and Yom Kippur, let's get really intense. Everything I did, Armis Basin. Everything I did, let's go through the whole long vidoy. That's a perspective of tshuva, very focused, very specific. There's another mahalach of tshuva. Another mahalach of tshuva, which is not like that. Mahalach tshuva, which is a bigger, broader form of purity. A bigger, broader form of purity. It's kind of tshuva which, with Derech Agav, you find so powerfully in the Piyus Etzner. Talking about like envisioning the person that you would want to be 1 year from now. He was Stam, the Piyus Etzner, the Ish Kodesh, did a lot of work as far as people's ability to cultivate imagination and like controlling of your mind, being able to use that in a very, very healthy way. And one of the areas in which he invokes that is Dafka in the world of truth. Like, in a year from now, who do you want to be? And that's not about individual sins. It's talking about, in a broad sense, who do you want to be? So which tshuva is it? Binyon and Shari tshuva at one point sounds like it's more of a broader idea. Rambam held the tshuva in the beginning. It's very, very specific. So which is it? So the answer is yes. Yes. But how do you say yes? How do you formulate it? So on the one hand, and here's something which I think is very, very powerful. Rambam Hilchos Tshuva Perek Aleph is about tshuva all year long. So how do I line it up? So here, if you want the methodological tool, it goes like this. You can do it very hard, it'll be fine. I'm serious. I don't mean that so seriously, but a little bit seriously, I mean that. You should give it help. There are a couple different ways of merging things. It's been a long week, I know. There are a couple different ways of merging things. So the first way Wilkinson did it was its opportunity, say it's a dechus or a chesed, or a chiyah, and he merged them into one idea. He merged them into one. That would be, if we're going with the food mashal, if that's okay, according to the food mashal would be, it's not having this or that, but it's mixing it together into one bowl in a way which is going to come together very nicely. That's like one way of saying it. The other way sometimes, is even true on a derech halimud level, of having them both be true, is that sometimes one and sometimes the other. It's not both together. It says, we're looking through the following Torah. When the Rambam speaks about tshuva, the tshuva of all year round, the Rambam writes, the Pasuk and Parshas Naso, it's all about Gezel Hager, it's all about being something which is very specific, it's about being something which is very limited, I messed up fixing that sin. But look at Rambam's Lashon in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, Techas. Yom Kippurim, we started off already by seeing this, Uzman tshuva l'chol hayachad, el Rambam, v'geit mechizor nishal, l'fich hayavim, Hakol la'asos tshuva v'levad v'yom Kippurim. And there, the Rambam starts talking about, look at the vidoy even of Halacha Ches. What's the vidoy Yom Kippur? Havidoy shenagu v'kol Yisrael, aval nachnu chatanu v'hu ikir havidoy. Comes along Yom Kippur, so we want to go for everything on Yom Kippur. But one of the unique elements of Yom Kippur, that's the
ki beyom hazeh yichaper aleichem. The vidui does not require ikar vidui is not every single individual mess up that a person's made. That part of the avodah of Yom Kippur is chatanu, I messed up, and now what do I want? I want a certain kapara. I want something new. We quoted last night after the shir, which means to the two people that were sitting there, a very, very, I think, beautiful insight that relates to this. Part of the, all year long is fixing individual sins. Yom Kippur is the opportunity to purify as a whole in a much more powerful way. That's why the Rosh writes, Dei Perekim Sechaz Yuma, quotes some Gaonim, that the minhag to go and be tovel in a mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur is Akadei Kach, there were Gaonim that made a bracha when they were Yotzei, the mikvah, on Erev Yom Kippur. Why did they make a bracha? So some offer the following very powerful suggestion. There's someone else who makes a bracha when he leaves the mikvah, and that's a ger. That when a ger leaves the mikvah, he's become a new person. So he's making a bracha on his new Kedushas Yisrael. So a ger makes a bracha when he leaves, and a Jew, come Erev Yom Kippur, is being tovel in a mikvah. So it's a form of recreating himself. It's a form of giving a bit of a new identity. Not changing personality, God forbid, but being able to elevate, being able to purify, being able to raise things up. So in a certain sense, the Rosh quotes Gaonim about this, that in a certain sense, what we're going for, is it a specific action or broader path? The answer is both. Not both because it's the same, but rather it's often I like to eat this food, and on special occasions I like to have that food. It's not both together, but it's they both exist, and that's another particular mahalach. The third mahalach, and then we'll tie things together, I think, is a feel a deep connection to, because I was at this one. 2004, Hashanah Gimel. Beautiful. The title in of itself is awesome. I find this one to be unbelievable. I don't know if it's because it was the only one I was ever at, and I was like very taken by it, and I thought it was amazing. Or it actually is what, like, sometimes you don't know that. Like, is it actually, like, if you didn't have no association with it, would you really like it that much? Or just like, you were there, so you're like, oh, this is awesome. It's hard to know sometimes. Sometimes you know that when you say it over to others, like, you say it over and you're like, wait, that actually, like you've been to Tish sometimes, you're like, whoa, that was awesome. What'd you say? And then you start saying it over and you're like, that makes no sense. You know, so like, sometimes that happens, but like, you're caught in the moment of like the power, and you're like, oh, that was amazing. That's not true here. This Torah is awesome. This Torah is unbelievable. It's about the following. You know, we speak a lot about Kam Yamim Noram time. It's a Gemara Rosh Hashanah. We speak a lot about Tzadikim Rasham and Beinonim. And we assume Pashtus, again, this will be also a little bit more next week, Rosh Hashanah, that essentially we're in the world of the Beinonim. We're not in the world of the Baal Tanya's Beinonim, who's familiar with it. We're regular Beinonis. We're like Beinonis. That's where Klai Yisrael's at. Aseres Mechuv and Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, are primarily there for the Beinonis, and we're in the Beinoni category. How we're in the Beinoni category, if it sounds like, at least certainly, maybe Chazal or Rishonim, it's only when you're equal mitzvos, equal averas, not for now, but fundamentally, we're probably in the Beinoni category, which for many Bali Machshava at least, means that we are not purely good or purely bad, but we have pulls in different directions. We have days in which things are much better. We have days in which we, you know, are pulled to do good things. And we have days in which we struggle. And that's the nature of life, what it means to be a Beinoni. So the Lichtenstein's Tshuva Drasha, the title was that the Beinoni's Tshuva need not be mediocre. You can be a Beinoni and do Tshuva, which is not, because you're a Beinoni, doesn't mean that your life is mediocrity. And he does that in an amazing, amazing way. And he does it in a way which I find to be, you know, so incredible. There's an element of tshuva, and let's broaden it as he does so wonderfully. There's an element of Avodas Hashem that is elitist. You can read, as he points out there in the Sefer, you can read Mesil Shasharim Perek Tes Zion. So you're like a real Jew. You know, I'm past like Chovas Adam Ba'olamo. I've done like the whole like Zriza Sahiras thing. I'm good. And now I'm up to like Bevior Midas Hatara. You know, I'm up to Tara. And I'm like, this is good. You know? Should I bet? So when I'm there, so the Ramchal, Mesil Sharim, speaks about attaining Tara. And he speaks about how if you want to have real Tara, so he uses like a halachic mashal. If you want to have real Tara is complete. If you're mostly good, but not all the way there, it's not Tara. Just like in certain areas of halacha, if I'm mostly good, my lulav is mostly kosher, my sefer Torah is mostly okay, there's just like on one of those columns I spilled some ink. So, it's possible. And that's true in elements of Avodas Hashem also. There's a certain, like, elitist component And it's undoubtedly true, if you especially look in certain Rishonim, I can get the impression that if tshuva is not complete, tshuva is nothing. And then in a certain sense, how much is tshuva only for those that can actually really say, I will never mess up in this again? And how much is tshuva only for those that can say, there's not one of the 613 that I'm not going to be willing to absolutely, absolutely be able to master? There's nothing like that at all. Have one more time?
Thanks.
So when that's true,
what we have is the following.
Opportunities present obligations. What we have is like this. Have a good time.
There's a certain elitist component.
I only do that for real because I feel like we're able to create like a healthy and positive tone in the room. We're like it's okay. You know, like, it's okay. There's nothing like, people put in long weeks. It's all good. There's nothing holy about it even. It's great. Tshuva presents, there's a certain like elitist component. Like, go all the way or what are you doing? And the problem that Lichtenstein points out is aside from that, like, hashkafically, like, it's hard to relate to that. Like, really? It's all or nothing? It's even like, how demoralizing is that? Like, how demoralizing is that? I'm messing up. I have to be Lashon Hara. You know? Let's confess. We'll go with all my sins, although that would be an exceptionally enjoyable next 6 years. But we'll go with, like, we'll go with at least, like, you know? We'll go with my Lashon Hara speaking. So I do Lashon Hara. I want to tshuva yom neran time. I spoke Lashon Hara. You know, I'm thinking about right now a time I spoke Lashon Hara, and I want to tshuva for it. Can I actually say without a shadow of a doubt, I will never speak Lashon Hara again? Can I really say that? Can I really say that, like, I'm going to perfect this? There won't even be avak Lashon Hara. Tar, the Gemara says kulan b'avak Lashon Hara. I was like, what am I going to do? You know, it's going to be really, really, like, I have a lot riding on that Gemara. You know, like, what am I going to be? It's sort of elitist, and it's very demoralizing in a certain sense. It's very challenging in a certain sense. That's one mahalach. The other mahalach, which is out there sometimes, is a mahalach in which, like, it's almost like, whatever you do is chashiv, whatever you do is okay. Any step you take which is close, there's a chashiv step. You can hear that approach sometimes. You can hear the mahalach sometimes. Even a little bit is chashiv, and it is chashiv, and it is important. That is elements, you find that thing in elements of Breslov a little bit, especially the amount of Zeb Breslov, like a little bit's also okay, and a little bit is also okay. There's MS in that approach. I feel like there's MS in Ramchal in Tara. The question is, so which is it, and how do I merge them to make it into one, and one which is really relevant? So Lichtenstein goes to Dvarim Perek Lamed. Dvarim Perek Lamed is, we spoke about Achrei Mos, we spoke about Gezel Hager. Dvarim Perek Lamed is really for at least many Rishonim. We're in Parshas Nitzavim, sorry. In Parshas Nitzavim here, we're speaking about a little bit about Tshuva, or maybe. And the Torah says something which is very well known. The Torah says as follows on the sheet where the page that you don't have. Ke mitzvah zot, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Aleph. This mitzvah I'm talking about, lo niflesi mimcha, it's not wondrous, not above you, lo rechok, not far away. Lo bashamayim hi, it's not in shamayim. It's lo me'ever liyam. It's rather something which is b'ficha uvelvav chalazos, or you could do it. What is the mitzvah that we are referring to? What's ki ha-mitzvah hazos? That's not clear. Discussions in different chazal, Gvar and Irvin, Rishonim, etc. The Rabban holds, ki ha-mitzvah hazos is a reference to the mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva, that's what we're referring to here. And point out of Lichtenstein in step number one. Is there not a series of psukim that is speaking more directly and more clearly to, in a certain sense, the person that is a little bit like a Beinoni? How clear is this? Like, in a certain... Lo neflesi mimcha v'lo rechokahi. Don't make... You could do it. It's not above and beyond what you could do. It's not beyond what you could do. It's something which is so, on the one hand, speaking to a Beinoni. It's speaking to a person and saying, whatever you do, it's lo b'shamayim hi, ki b'ficha v'vavcha la'asoso. You could do it. No doubt about it, you could do it. But, points out of Lichtenstein, are these psukim also not really setting the bar very, very high? On the one hand, it's speaking to a person with the tongue of the person. Don't worry about it. You know, you can do it. Lo b'shamayim hi, you know, everyone, you can do it, and there's chizik in that. There's 2 points of a lack of chizik here also. Again, we're repackaging some of the Lichtenstein Torah. There's 2 points of no chizik. What's the point of no chizik? You actually can never make an excuse for not being able to tshuva. There are no excuses, because lo b'shamayim hi, ki b'ficho v'vavcha la'asoso. What are you going to claim? You can't do it? Him can't do it? No, Torah says you can. You're going to say, but it's so far away. No, it's actually lo b'shamayim, not that far away. No, it's not really who I am. No, it's like, you really do it. You can really do it. It's a way of speaking to a bit, which is not, slow down here, but those are not so, you can do it. There's another mechayev here also. Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Maseches Eruvin, I believe it's Eruvin, that when we say lo b'shamayim hi, that shiur that we're going to say, mi l'shamayim, we have to go up to heaven to get it, that the Gemara says, Chazal Darshan, that if it wasn't Shamayim, you'd have a chiyuv to go there and get it. It's not Shamayim. But just know, if it were in Shamayim, like, go get it. Do what you got to do to be able to go there and grab it and do whatever you can. Meaning, at the same time, it's so powerful the way he says it. What we previously understood as a very reassuring pasuk in Chumash is also extremely and powerfully demanding. On the one hand, everyone can do it. On the other hand, everyone needs to do it. And everyone, even if it looks like it's above me, and even if it were in Shemayim, we would tell you, so start like building your Migdal Bavel. Like start, do what you gotta do. You gotta go up and get there. So how does that work? Which is it? Tshuva's elite, you gotta do it and go all the way, even to Shemayim? Or Tshuva's like, whatever you do is okay. And here, Lichtenstein has a chiluk also. They're both true, but they're articulated in a meaningful and deep and real and significant way. And here, Rashi says as follows. There is a fundamental chiluk, which will be the Pesach to understanding the tshuva of the Beinoni. It will be the Pesach to understanding how you relate to, on the one hand, certain psukim that are reassuring, and also certain psukim that are so demanding, and in this case, the same pasuk. It's lo b'shamayim, you could do it. But if it were, wow, you'd have to go get there. And no one has excuses. And that answers the following chiluk. It's a chiluk which is golden. It's a chiluk which is simple. It's elegant. It's beautiful. And it's so true. Eino dome, result and process. Result and process. We are never held accountable, suggestion of Lichtenstein, for the results. Results? Okay, there are tzaddikim holding by level of tara of Mesil Shasharim. Results? There's them. Okay. We're never... Don't worry that much about results. Don't get caught up that much. Am I batting 1,000 or not batting 1,000? That's not always the question. Because some of us, the reality is, as Beinonis, it can be hard to bat 1,000. And it's not that if I don't bat 1,000, it's not worth it at all. It's not that if I get step up to the plate and I fail sometimes, that it means that it was all for naught. It's not true at all. It's not true at all. But what is true? What is true is on a level of effort, on a level of trying, I have to really try. I have to really try. And no one can say, lo b'shamayim hi. And no one could say that it's not, you know, b'ficha v'vavcha la'asoso. No one could say that. On level of effort, you're really going to try. What am I going to attain? I don't know what I'm going to attain. But I have to try, I have to try. Now, parentheses. You sometimes have, it's just qualification. You sometimes have, especially by people who are successful and have a certain kind of character trait, they're like, but how do I know if I'm really trying my hardest? How do I know if I'm ever really trying my hardest? Try. You don't have to get so caught up in like the, you know, you don't have to beat yourself up also about how you're trying, but not trying as, you know. There's something to be said here by Rambam, which is so beautiful and so important. Tshuva is something which is accessible for everyone, but you need not get to an end game of absolute perfection. That's not critical, but getting somewhere, my God, it is. And trying really hard, no excuses. You got to work hard. Will I be successful? I have no idea, but I have to really be able to work hard. I want to chazer what we did, and I want to be able just to end with one or two nekudas that hopefully can be hopefully can be significant. Let me begin by let me just say as follows: we pointed out that Rav Lichtenstein gave his yearly talk in Tshuva a particular style which tends to take to do. When you speak about a different thing, people's unique perspectives on Tshuva. Some it's what they say, and some it's how they say it. Their approach to saying it. Rav Lichtenstein has a little bit of both. What Lichtenstein does, I think, often, we're trying to point out, is he often will map out the sugya, two possibilities, two different mahalchim, and try to have a way of, like, combining them together, sometimes this and sometimes that, speaking to different people at different ways, chilukim between them, very, very important. We spoke about three issues that Rav Aaron raises, each of which, I think, is immensely, immensely significant. Number one, my orientation towards tshuva. Tshuva is a gift from Ribbono Shel Olam. Tshuva is a chiyuv. And maybe the answer is, there are certain gifts, which if you don't, you're chayav to take. You gotta take it. You can't waste that opportunity. You sowed number one. Yisod number two, is tshuva about fixing individual sins? Or is tshuva about a greater sense of my whole personality, a greater sense of tara, of elevating myself? And the answer is yes. It's both those things. And there are times all year long, Yom Neram also, where I focus individual chataim, but it's never only about individual chataim. It's also about a general shift of tara, of purity. Like we added the rush in Yuma, the tefillah and the mikvah, of reinventing and elevating and purifying and raising up more Kedusha and more Tara in terms of who you really are. And the last idea, tshuva is for the elite or whatever you do is okay. And the answer is, tshuva is for the elite and tshuva is also tshuva that whatever you do is okay. And in a certain sense, depends what it is. Tshuva, as far as end results, I can't guarantee I'm always going to be able to get there. Tshuva, as far as working hard, I can try. I can try. Obviously, I try with breaks. I try and I don't break myself. I try and not, you know, and I try. And trying is really, really chashuv. And trying is really, really chashuv also. There's a lot to be said for the pichav. Yeah, it's a shemayim. You'd have to go there. It's not a shemayim. It's actually lower shemayim. And that's something we have to strive for and do whatever we can to be able to be able to reach. One of the challenges sometimes, and this with this we'll just end, is that tshuva is a topic which is analyzed from many, many different perspectives and many different ways that a person can approach tshuva. What I think is so powerful about our Halachic scene, sometimes exposure to different perspectives and different mahalchim in a way where he brings it together, I think it can resonate very much. It resonates as far as I can connect to that. In particular, the tshuva, the Beinoni's tshuva need not be mediocre. The fact that I'm not a tzaddik in the way at least some Balaim, I'm sorry to explain, we're like, I always only want to do good. That's all I ever want. There's a certain like mamish high level. I'm holding by a Beinoni. You know, I have poles in different directions. It doesn't mean that my tshuva ever has to be mediocre. It doesn't mean I can't strive for greatness. It has to mean that the knowledge that my greatness, it may not always be defined by end result. End of the day, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't always judge based on end result. And that's an important thing to know. The Ribbono Shel Olam's mesiachis to us, through the tshuva process, we can, us trying to work hard, trying to cultivate a certain character, trying to cultivate certain habits, and to be able to do that in a meaningful way, that is something which I think is enormously beneficial. Let me just...